This is Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you to stay pure online. How do we instruct young women in the church to have a heart of modesty? What does modesty mean on a practical level? Can a girl be both fashionable and modest? Can a girl have modest standards without being legalistic? You are listening to part three in our roundtable discussion. We have four special guests to help us unpack this topic. First, we are joined by Rachel Lee Carter and her husband, Daryl. Rachel has been a professional model for more than 20 years, represented by top-tier modeling agencies worldwide. Rachel is also the author of Fashioned by Faith, an international model uncovers the truth about modesty and style. We also have Alyssa Schull and her husband, Matt. Alyssa is the founder of The Pink Lid, a weekend program specifically for teenage girls that addresses subjects of beauty, fashion, purity, and modesty. Today, these four guests talk about how to create a modest wardrobe and how to have specific standards that aren't motivated by legalism.
You know, you don't have to go through your entire wardrobe, your entire closet, and toss everything that doesn't work. You have to just figure out a way to repurpose it. You have to have standards before you go into the store. Then you don't easily get derailed by the latest fashion trends that you see out there.
One thing I tell girls is before you leave your house in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror and say this. Say, am I honoring God with my body?
Rachel, as we get it, bring this in, as we kind of zero in on this idea of modesty, you're a Christian working as a professional model. What advice would you give to young ladies about both being fashionable and being modest? Because this is sometimes one of the biggest resistance that people feel to modesty is that modesty there must therefore mean unfashionable. What would you say to that?
Thank goodness, no. That's not what it means. I was actually getting ready to speak and at this conference, and this woman told me, you just need to get up and tell those girls no cracks in the front or the back. That's one way to put it. But I think that's a great place to start, you know, no cracks in the front or the back. But, you know, there's easy things that we can do to maintain our integrity with the way that we dress. And the first thing is layering. I mean, I can take just about anything in anybody's wardrobe and fix it by putting a tank top underneath it, or if it's too tight, putting a blazer over the top of it, or if it's, you know, my jeans are too low cut, you know, if I raise my arms, it, you know, my top's going to go rise up and show my midsection, putting a long tank top underneath that. There's just a lot that you can do that really can fix your wardrobe just by layering. And then the second thing I would say is accessorizing. Feathers in the hair and great boots and all the different things and all the different ways that girls can really showcase their individuality by the way that they're dressing, it comes by way of accessories. So that's the second thing that I would say. And then the third one is you have to have standards before you go into the store. And I mean that if you know that you're going to be shopping for shorts, go into the store knowing that you're looking for fingertip length shorts. And I mean that when you're standing, you put your hands down by your side, and wherever your longest finger comes to, that's the shortest your shorts should be that can still cover you when you're sitting Indian style, when you're bending over. That is the length that they need to be, and there or longer. And so if you have that standard in mind before you go into the store, then you don't easily get derailed by the latest fashion trends that you see out there. And then the last thing I would say is that, you know, you don't have to go through your entire wardrobe, your entire closet, and toss everything that doesn't work. You have to just figure out a way to repurpose it. And, you know, I'm guilty for one. I used to go to the gym wearing the skin-tight yoga pants or the short shorts, you know, before God pierced my heart about modesty. And so, but what I do now is instead of going to the gym in those clothes, I sleep in them. So I didn't have to toss them. I don't have to throw them out. I just have to find a new purpose for them. And so there's a lot of ways that you can just really have to get creative about how you're going to still be fashionable, which we love, and still maintain your integrity with the way you dress.
Yeah, Alyssa, would you add anything to that?
Yeah, I completely agree with everything Rachel said. That's what I teach girls on all the time is, just these important points of what you can do with your wardrobe. And I always tell girls, tank tops and leggings are your best friends. Like, I have tank tops in every color. I just wear tank tops underneath everything because that's just that extra layering, like what Rachel was saying, that, just really adds to the outfit. And then leggings, lots of girls are wearing these skirts that, maybe if the wind gets it or, you're walking upstairs, you can see right up it. And so I tell girls, put leggings on with all your skirts. Leggings are in style, so let's use them. And so I go about it, because, I'm all into fashion. I love style. I love, the cutest new clothes and stuff. And I literally believe what Rachel said. You can make anything, look basic, not everything, but mostly everything, be modest. Add that tank top. Add that, that cute sweater, cute blazer. Add those leggings, and you can totally make it work.
Well, and as we're getting into some of these specifics, I'm glad you ladies got into the specifics here, because this is where oftentimes people trip up over questions of modesty. Some people definitely believe modesty is commanded by God, and it's that it's first and foremost, obviously, a matter of the heart, but they stop there. They'll claim something like, if you wear blank, you're being immodest, that statement is both legalistic and culturally narrow.
Yeah.
And so you'll say, so when we get into these specifics, okay, that shorts need to be this, no shorter than this, wear this under that, and you get into some of these specifics, people start to stumble over that, especially if they have heard from others around them, and maybe even other men around them, oh no, that's not immodest, this is. And they may have heard different opinions about what is immodest and what is modest. And so in the confusion of, well, I don't know what to wear now because one person might think this is immodest and another person thinks this is, they just sort of throw their hands up and kind of wash their hands of the whole thing. They don't know what to do. Daryl, maybe you could speak to this as a man. Especially as you know that there are probably many men who have maybe different standards of what they think is immodest or modest. What do you think about this kind of attitude, and how do you think the New Testament authors would have responded to these kind of criticisms?
Well, I think the legalistic and the culturally narrow view is warranted, and they're not fully understanding modesty and the definitions that have been laid forth in this session and how the impact is not only on the individual that's dressed immodestly, but also the brothers around her. And really what we need to understand is it really can't be legalistic if the Word of God commands it, period. And these
right.
New Testament authors, they wrote with authority from the God of the universe. But, as Alyssa mentioned earlier, even in the Old Testament, Solomon compared a beautiful woman who lacks discretion with a gold ring and a pig snout. So when we disregard the parts of Scripture that we don't like, we're not only spiritually immature, but blatantly we're being disobedient to the Word of God.
Matt, you had anything to that?
And that's really good the way Daryl, I really agree what he's saying is, and you kind of mentioned this earlier, Luke, where we have this sense of freedom in the New Testament. It's interesting, a year or so ago we did a show and we asked kids, what is a good definition of freedom? And I would say 90% of the kids, teenagers, responded, freedom is doing whatever I want whenever I want to do it. And really I was shocked at how many carried that definition. We've really redefined freedom. And we are free, in the New Testament sense, but I'm not free from my commandment to love. Jesus said in John, 14, 15, 16, if you love me, you obey my commandments. He repetitively, said those things. Excuse me. So, I think that we've really gone maybe a little too far in saying, well, I'm free to wear whatever I want, do whatever I want. But yeah, we have a big command to, hold ourselves in a way that is really our whole lives should draw people to God. And we know that idolatry, we know that, sexual sins, and sex outside of marriage and those lusts, that's not drawing people to God. And so if we're dressing and doing things in a way that is leading people away to God, our life as a believer, we are not pointing lives in the right direction. And that's a serious thing in Scripture. And so we're not free to just wear whatever we want and do whatever we want, act however we want. We should be leading people to Christ with our everyday behavior. So
in other words, and I like the way you put that, that there's the attitude should not be, well, I need a list of what God considers modest and immodest, and therefore, because I don't have the list in front of me, I guess I don't need to worry about it so much because I got all these different opinions around me. You've zeroed in on the idea that it's not about that. It's about the heart of the person saying, what's going to draw people around me to Christ? And that is and that's a very different kind of attitude than just the having the list mentality.
One thing I tell girls is before you leave your house in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror and say this. Say, am I honoring God with my body? And I tell them, your mom, listen to your parents also. If your parents say, hey, that's not modest, go and change. Listen to them. They're trying to protect you. They're not trying to make you not be in style or have the latest, cutest trend. They're not trying. They're really protecting you. And so, I say, girls, just ask yourself an honest question. Be honest with yourself and ask, are you honoring God with what you're wearing? And be honest. And if you have to go change, go and change. And that's perfectly okay because you're protecting yourself from unwanted attention.
Yeah. And if I could just add, motive is so important in the Bible. And, if a young man or a young lady, ask yourself, why am I dressing the way I'm dressing? Is it to get sex appeal or is it to live a godly life? And I think we can sum up the whole list of rules with that right there. Why am I dressing the way I'm dressing? What's my goal? What is my purpose? And then, we have the Holy Spirit, too. If you're convicted about something, I love what Rachel said. She was in the gym, with these shorts. God pierced her heart, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with her. And we've all, had the Holy Spirit pierce our heart about something. And so when God deals with you about something, listen to the Holy Spirit. You can't go wrong when you follow the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I know when we're getting into the specifics of what is modest, what is immodest, Paul went there, when he was talking about modesty in 1 Timothy 2, and he says the likewise that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. He didn't stop there. He said, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. And so if it was merely about trying to get to the heart, obviously he makes the heart and the motivations of a person central, but then using the culture of his time and the times that he lived in, he said, and here's an example. He used something that would have been very recognizable to them as something that was displaying something that was immodest, doing something that was immodest with the way that they with the types of clothes they wore or the ways they pinned up their hair or those sort of things. And so it's really key. While people may say it's culturally narrow, most of the time our culture is really what determines for a lot of people what is immodest and what is modest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a fault of the culture, and it's certainly not a problem for the Christian, because the Christian is meant to be salt and light in the culture he's been placed in, not in some other culture or for some other time. We've been put here by God for a reason, for a time, and we are meant to be salt and light here. And so insert what you want in that section in Scripture. What might Paul say today is clearly not respectable, immodest, not showing self-control, not showing godliness, not proper for someone who is trying to be a worshiper of God and lead others to worship God. That is really key. So it does come down to some of the nitty-gritty at times, but it's important to understand the heart and the motivations behind it.
You have been listening to our interview with Daryl and Rachel Carter and Matt and Alyssa Scholl. Tomorrow we will finish this topic, hearing from our guests about how fathers play a crucial role in shepherding the hearts of their daughters in this area. To hear more of our podcasts, find Covenant Eyes Radio on iTunes or visit the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.